Hi everyone, this is Justice. It is an absolute pleasure to be in space with you today at the ATHA conference. Thank you all so much for lending an ear to my voice when my body could not be there. Today I'm going to read my article, but before I wanted to introduce myself and tell you a little bit why you're listening to my voice. Like I said, my name is Justice Von Maur. I am a Black feminist theater maker, facilitator, and theorist. And I wanted to let you know that the information in the program about me is not up to date. So since I applied to the ATHA conference and was so graciously welcomed into this incredible panel by Lindsay and Letitia, thank you, some circumstances shifted for me. Know that my work is deeply, deeply immersed in Black feminism, abolitionism, and anarchism. And the more, while I was in graduate school, the more I chose to live out these system change frameworks in both my personal life and my research, the less I was able to continue to ideate, create, and learn within my institution of higher education. So I did withdraw from the University of Texas at Austin. So that credit is no longer up to date. I am really happy to be here today as an independent scholar. The other credit update you should know is the article I'm about to read is entitled Welcome to Emergent Theater for a Changing World. This text will be published in the Southeastern Theater Conference's Theater Symposium Journal this October. So if you'd like to get eyes on it after listening today, I welcome you to find it in Theater Symposium. I'm going to finish this intro by inviting the room that you are sat in together right now to take a collective breath with me, if you will. Thank you. Have a seat. I believe we can change our world. I hold this belief largely due to the COVID-19 global pandemic, which brought sudden, large-scale change into the realm of possibility, for better or for worse. As a human, the pandemic exacerbated the systemic inequities in the United States that make my life as a Black person, a queer person, and an artist difficult to live. As a theater maker, the pandemic forced me and many others to reckon with the ways in which systems show up in my industry and my practice. In 2021, theater makers are wondering how we continue to work and create in a changing world, and my answer is that we change alongside it and get intentional about the role we play in shaping the systems that dictate how we live our lives. I view systems as shapeable because I'm an emergent strategist. I choose to live out activist and writer Adrienne Marie Brown's theory of emergent strategy, which tells us that humans can, quote, generate and reshape complex systems and patterns with relatively simple interactions, end quote. What might these interactions look like for theater makers? In evolving my identity as both an emergent strategist and a theater maker, I have codified three phases of change shaping that are rooted in relationship to self, to others, and to systems. These phases are 1, pace and presence, feeling. 2, pain and power, naming. And 3, preserve and practice, changing. These phases are where Black feminism and emergent strategy meet theater as a starting point for my dream, emergent theater, or ET. ET lives in the realm of possibility. It is where we might end up if we sustain our art by first and simultaneously changing our world and the systems that shape it. Let me be clear in saying that this article does not seek to prove the existence of structural and systemic inequities in the United States or in theater. This work and my beliefs are centered in Black feminist thought and emergent strategy, which recognize that, in 2021, we are, according to Brown, quote, in the midst of a global cultural disruption that calls for us to hold each other as the systems that weaken and distort our humanity crumble, end quote. I know that my humanity has been systematically weakened because I feel it. If you feel similarly, then I invite you to dream about how we might hold each other. I hold others through emergent strategy, which is a Black feminist approach to systems change that is centered in two key ideas. The first idea is that of emergence, or fractals. Everything we do on the small scale reverberates and is reflected in the, quote, large complex systems that make up our world, end quote. Meaning, we have the power on an individual level to shape change at large. The second key idea is that focusing on relationships to ourselves, to one another, to the earth, to systems, is how we create possibility or change. I love theater. I love that theater draws humans into relationship with one another and how it inspires us to do so aesthetically. Theater has also left me uninspired and burnt out. Much of theater in the United States is a commodified product, popularized by Broadway, then grossly reproduced on regional, community, and educational stages throughout the country. Over time, reproducing the same content through the same theatrical forms has generated a systematized, stagnant, and arguably boring emulation of what we might consider theater to be. This version of theater is dependent on a culture that buys and sells, excludes and exploits. Laboring artists are made to feel disposable. We're told to leave it at the door and that we are always auditioning, for theater is too short on time and money to afford the risk that nonconformist thought or feeling invites. I have seen this culture throughout my education and career in American theater spaces so pervasively that I have wondered if the form itself is oppressive. Does theater in the U.S. reflect its country's systems, both through content, what it communicates, the stories it tells, and form, how it communicates, the way it functions? If so, then theater makers who engage with systems change are doing the work of ushering in a realm of possibility where undiscovered theatrical forms, such as emergent theater, might exist. There are theater makers, many of whom are queer people of color, who have publicly named the way in which systems have and continue to shape theater into what it has come to be in 2021. Systems, such as capitalism and white supremacy in particular, arise in conversations about how theater is complicit in perpetuating the same harms we see on a nationwide scale. In June 2020, a collective of Black, Indigenous, and theater makers of color created the We See You Watt movement, publishing a 30-page document of Demands for White American Theater, or W-A-T, Watt. The document calls out white supremacy rampant in the industry and asks for something different. Later in the summer, the Black Theater Commons, a network of theater makers who identify as members of the Black/African diaspora, also called for the American theater to reckon with racial injustice through a series of articles entitled A Call for Revolutionary Theater 2020. In March 2021, Afrocentric intimacy specialist Ann James published an article on HowlRound Theater Commons with a self-explanatory title, Putting Out the American Dumpster Fire Through White Abolition. Ever-emerging contributions to this conversation across networks, news outlets, and social media show us that many theaters are prepared to feel their feelings, name their pains, and to change the ways that our art is in relationship to larger systems and to harm. My contribution to this relationship shift is emergent theater, a theory, a methodology, an aesthetic, a form, a dream, a possibility that waits. On an episode of the Emergent Strategy podcast, Brown gets serious and warns listeners that this mid-pandemic moment is a, quote, revolutionary time, end quote, to imagine and live out possibility, lest we find ourselves, quote, crawling back to what feels familiar, end quote. E.T. is certainly not the familiar, although it just might crawl. E.T. is theater living out emergent strategy and emergent strategy living out theater. E.T. might be when we intentionally cultivate relationships to ourselves, to one another, to the earth, as we shape systems through aesthetic possibility creation as practice. E.T. pulls together what I love about life: exchange, bodies, beauty, change. Sharing my love has not always been easy, but I have been encouraged and inspired by Black feminist thinkers and activists like Brown, Audre Lorde, Octavia Butler, Alexis Pauline Gums, Prentice Hemphill, and Octavia Rahim. Through their work, this community has held me, validated my feelings, and moved me to imagine beyond what I understood possible for myself. I want to do the same for theater makers like me, like you. Possibility lives here, now, with three phases of change shaping, affectionately called the P's. Phase one, pace and presence, feeling. Phase two, pain and power, naming. Phase three, preserve and practice, changing. Phase one, pace and presence, feeling. This phase is about how feeling fully allows us to establish a connection between ourselves, those around us, and the systems that hold us all. When I'm aware of the pace at which I live my life, presence comes naturally. When I slow down, I'm instantly more present. When I rest, I can be enduringly present. Presence allows me to feel, which I've come to understand as an essential building block of possibility creation and systems change. In her book, Presente, performance theorist Diana Taylor writes that being present, quote, enacts not just an attitude and a defiant stance, but also a way of knowing and being in the world that asks us to rethink and unlearn some of the limitations imposed by Western thought and education, end quote. In the context of performance theory, Taylor identifies presence as a tool that all humans can use to intentionally bring about disruption of the world or worlds and systems that we've learned to unquestionably accept. Similarly, in Uses of the Erotic, Audre Lorde writes that, as quote, as we begin to recognize our deepest feelings, we begin to give up, of necessity, being satisfied with suffering and with the numbness which so often seems like the only alternative, end quote. When we allow ourselves to be present in feeling, we lose our ability to stay complacent. In this sense, as Lorde points out, quote, acts against oppression become integral with the self, end quote. Through feeling, we become more aware of the individual roles we play in shaping a given system, whether it be capitalism, racism, theater, or something else. I use myself as a case study. I'm a theater maker who was not able to reckon with what felt bad about the theater spaces I occupied until the pandemic rendered me unemployed. Only then did I have the time, emotional energy, and physical space to consider how I truly felt. I know now that rest is crucial to my creativity and survival, which is something I had finite access to as a theater professional. I occupied a world where theater thrived on employee burnout then turnover. Theater did not have to care for its artists and laborers, but rather enervate the weak until they could no longer survive by making the art that powers them. Often, those who could not survive this version of theater were those of one or multiple oppressed identities. Folks who were not white enough, straight enough, male enough, cisgendered enough, American enough, fit enough, able enough, or those who didn't have access to generational wealth. It was apparent to me how commodified theater was reflective of and complicit in so many of the systemic inequities that harm us all. Now, I'm intentional about rest so that I can gather and hold energy for living out the systems I long for. In Octavia Rahim's book, Gather, she asks, quote, "Do you ever feel guilty when you rest? Where does that guilt come from? How much can you take? How fast? And with how little sustenance can you work?" My ancestors lived inside the systemic shackles of these questions and often died under their oppressive weight. End quote. Did you forget that lack of rest has been used to kill people? What do we make of institutions and industries that force us to trade our rest for participation? The truth is that theater lives inside the very same systemic shackles as Rahim's ancestors and my ancestors, within which it simultaneously dies a little and hurts those who love it. In Emergent Strategy, Brown asserts that, quote, "there's always enough time for the right work," end quote. I repeat this to myself often. If theater had enough time, whatever enough looks like, I wonder how it might shift in form. If theater makers had enough rest to be present and fully feeling, what would our aesthetic possibility become? I imagine emergent theater as a source through which humans can find restfulness in presence and in feeling. I'm inspired by social presencing theater, or SPT, developed by performer and choreographer Arowana Hayashi through the Presencing Institute at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. On the first day of a three-day training, Hayashi explained that the word presencing is a combination of the word presence and sensing. Through this blend, SPT seeks to bring forth our, quote, "embodied knowing," end quote, as human beings, tapping into the innate intelligence that comes from feeling equally or more than thinking. When we feel, Hayashi writes, we're able to, quote, "co-create with each other the systems in which we all live and work," end quote. SPT recognizes that our physical bodies are a site of possibility for what we might replicate as a communal and systematic body. This renders embodied artists, like theater makers, as already primed forces for change shaping. What methodological and aesthetic possibilities emerge when theater makers have time and space to feel fully in our hearts, minds, and bodies as practice? Phase 2, pain and power, naming. Pain is systemic and pain is power. Prentice Hemphill is an embodiment coach and facilitator who's pioneering Black embodiment, an approach to thinking about the relationship between our emotions and our bodies and how systems inform that relationship. During a training in Black embodiment basics, Hemphill shared that at the root of slavery and colonialism is white people's unwillingness to hold space for pain. In other words, historically, white people have used systems such as slavery and agriculture to outsource their physical and emotional pain into the bodies of Black people and other people of color. Pain lives in our bodies. We carry pain around and we pass it on to new generations. Pain is and has long been systematized, but I believe that pain is power. What happens when we locate the individual and shared pains that live within us? What if we unhide those pains and allow them to power us through change and into possibility? How can emergent theater as an embodied practice galvanize and decentralize the pains we literally carry? Can we allow ourselves to love something enough to bear the pain of imagining it differently? In February 2021, Brown shared on the Emergent Strategy podcast that to practice Emergent Strategy right now is, quote, "to be willing to speak the truth about what we see, what is, so that we can adapt accordingly, so that we can change and shape the future," end quote. Speaking the truth is how we harness our pain and translate it into practice. When I think about emergent theater, I draw upon the responsibility of speaking out, along with the role of the word theater in SPT. Hayashi writes, quote, "The word theater is used not in reference to drama or theatrical performance, but in reference to the Greek root of the word, a place where things become visible," end quote. To make visible is in our blood as theater makers. Let us make our pains visible and speak truth to power. I am speaking. In this moment, I'm able to call for change because I have located theater as a site of my racial trauma, low self-worth, identity-based shame, productivity-based guilt, and emotional numbness to endure it all. As a storyteller, I believed my work in theater to be inherently noble. In sharing stories, I believed that I'm doing the work of the people for the people. However, as Diana Taylor points out, quote, our disciplines often unwittingly sustain the very inequities some of them purport to address because they've been shaped by the same system of compartmentalization and separation, end quote. I think about form and content. It does not matter what you say if the way you say it is steeped in inequity and systemic harm. Black History Month programming at a regional theater does not matter if February is the only time we see black or brown bodies on stage. Cultural diversity grants do not matter if they're temporary appeasements doled out as unsustainable cultural capital for predominantly white institutions. Truths sometimes get stuck in my throat. And they hurt. But naming my pains powers me to shape change. Phase two locates pain and power together because I believe holding both is how we sustain presence and therefore feeling. Through the duality of pain and power, I have tapped into a love so fierce that I want to reclaim theater and simultaneously burn it to the ground. Brown suggests that, quote, perhaps humans' core function is love. End quote. And I agree. Why else do theater makers like myself show up again and again to, as Brown phrases it in the context of social justice organizing, quote, work tirelessly with broken hearts, end quote. Both within and despite the systemic harm that stifles theater in the U.S., theater makers hold in our hearts and embodied memory the most beautiful, transcendent, and powerful moments of our lives. These moments have happened on stage, backstage, the audience, the booth, the administrative office, the rehearsal studio, the bar after opening night, the look in someone's eyes. I know you're thinking of a moment right now. Maybe you're smiling. Maybe, like me, you're crying. To uncover and name pain is to access the inherent power within us all. When we make our power known, we begin to decentralize power at large, which is to play a role in reshaping systems of hierarchy. Phase three, preserve and practice, changing. Within discussions about change, it's important to draw attention to what does work, what we love, what we want to keep or preserve. I was intrigued by the idea of preservation after reading Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sower, an apocalyptic fiction that made me think about what humans do to survive and how often change and adaptation is integral to survival. The final phase of change shaping that I offer is about how to practice change as we fight to protect and preserve what we love. As Butler says, quote, worship is no good without action, end quote. What will emergent theater preserve? I come back to emergent strategy and its two central ideas. Large-scale change-making happens on the small scale, emergence, and we do this through being in relationship to ourselves and others, to the earth, to the natural world, and to systems and change. I view theater as a nature-based practice. To me, theater is the art of that with which we come into the world, the body, the voice, the feeling, the relationship to living things. Because of this, I believe that theater is our fundamental right as humans, in the same way that we have the right to breathe or to love. Fellow emergent strategist and scholar Alexis Pauline Gums writes about bottlenose dolphins who somehow swim upstream in, quote, a river full of mud, end quote. The dolphins remind her of Harriet Tubman and the legacy of Black women throughout time who have, quote, had to live free in unfree space, end quote. Theater makers, let us live free. Let us hold our bodies and beauty and all living things in loving relationship so that we can breathe even in the mud, because to do so is to create possibility. And to create possibility is to shape change. If we make a shared practice of creating possibility with intention, we can also make a practice of change shaping. What does it feel like to make possibility with others, to practice change? What hidden pains are made visible, and what unspeakable truths are given voice? How can we hold each other through change's practice as we model on the small scale what it feels like in our bodies and hearts to shape systems for the better? In an Instagram Live interview hosted by Brown, emergent strategist and theater maker Sage Crump discussed the necessity to, quote, be in practice about how we shape culture. To which Brown replied, quote, yes, everything I want out there is about what I practice right now, end quote. Right now, I wonder what an embodied and aesthetic practice ground for change shaping might look and feel like, and how emergent theater can become it. I draw upon embodiment and aesthetic because I regard them as the most preservable elements of theater as we currently know it. Two, I believe embodiment and aesthetic put us in strong relationship to our physical and emotional feeling, which in turn puts us in relationship to systems. I continue to dream. Emergent theater is for the people. ET is a process and does not concern itself with product or end result or deadlines. ET has all the time it needs. ET is not for sale. If ET wants an audience, it will invite one. ET is practiced by anyone and everyone. ET is uplifted and shaped by young people and old people. ET has no leader. It generates, then shares power generously and joyfully. ET derives power from all human feeling, even the hard ones. ET breathes in the mud. ET is outside and sometimes inside. ET is both transformative and restorative. ET is communal. ET is loving. ET is sustainable. ET has four rooting tendrils: human relationship to earth, human relationship to humans, human relationship to systems and change by way of emergent strategy. And lastly, maybe the use of human bodies to iterate aesthetic possibility. ET might be when we intentionally cultivate relationships as we shape systems through aesthetic possibility creation as practice. ET changes theater by changing the system. ET births new ideas, new aesthetic, new methodology, new form. ET is now and always will be. Before you go, what are your P's? I also offer pandemic, performance, possibility, place, prepare, people, process, perseverance, persistence, prayer, pleasure.